to share a testimony with you guys this morning. I shared it in Sunday school. It's funny, the seeds that the Lord has you plant. And you wonder sometimes, why did I do that? Did it ever bear fruit? We had a really, and still do, have a good relationship with Second Baptist in South Carolina. And we were so active in missions together, but it was a two-year mission plan that turned into a five-year, and then they finally said, hey, look, we got so many other things going on, it's time to cut you guys loose. And in the last few years, it's gradually diminished a lot and lost contact with a lot of people. And it's kind of like when you lose family a little bit, and they're there, but there just isn't that camaraderie that you had. And I was feeling just really down about it lately, and especially yesterday I was feeling like, wow, you know, just I needed an uplift with that. Well, how many years has it been since I went to Bolivia? 3, 4, whatever. Anyway, they took me to Bolivia as one of the pastors and went with a 5-person team, and we spent some time in the jungle. And when I say in the jungle, guys, I'm talking about real jungle, like Tarzan movie jungle, you know. Where there's they don't see white people, they don't see people that can speak English, they don't see electricity, they don't see all those things. I mean, they literally live in grass huts and live like you would expect people to live 500 years ago. Well, one of the things they had decided when we went there, the North American Mission Board had decided they wanted to try and experiment when they went to a lot of the villages and places like that. We used to always bring games and trinkets and things to give them, to entice them to just to come and listen to Bible stories, whatever. And they saw that in many cases, and in most cases, the people were looking more for the things you were giving them and not listening to what you said. Because even something that was odd they didn't understand was still something new they could play with, and you know what I mean. So anyway, they decided on this trip, we gave them nothing. We were to introduce ourselves to the people and talk with them. We were to spend a few days with them, get to know them, pray with them, eat with them, and that was it. And it was very primitive, and I'll be honest with you, a little scary at times. I gotta be honest. Because the men in the village, I don't think they felt good about us initially. But as the couple days into there, a little boy by the name of Fernando took us on a walk through the jungle to the jungle fields they had, which don't look like fields here. And it was also, there were evidence of coca plantations in the area where they make, in the cocaine people, that's really hot and heavy there. They take the people out. They'll literally enslave them from their villages and make them work in these places. Because there were some trails we were forbidden to go down, and we knew why. But anyway, this little boy walked us through the jungle that he said, through our interpreter, was a half a mile. And he lied. Someone messed up somewhere. It was probably close to 100 that day, and the humidity was through the roof. And well, here we are on a 2.5-hour walk through the jungle. And with no water, we didn't take water that hour and a half hour. We don't need to take water with us. Well, we should have. We ended up finding a sugar cane grove, which was a huge blessing because we were able to get some nutrition from some fresh sugar cane because I was about ready to die. And I was thinner then. But anyway, this little boy was very inquisitive and even about Jesus as we talk about Jesus. And he really wanted to know. And as we were getting preparing to leave there, he kept looking at me, and I had a New Testament, and I knew I wasn't even supposed to give him that because we were just making contact. Groups later would, but I left him this New Testament, and I thought, you know, is this right? I really felt led to do it, but yet the rules say not to, so I'm breaking rules. You know what? When it comes to the Word of God, I think it's okay to break rules. But make a very, very long story this morning short. I got word yesterday that on the last trip to that village, he accepted Christ. And
And that's been 3-4 years ago that that seed was planted. And I guess Lord lets us know that what he has us do is not irrelevant. It never is. And I've often wondered what happened to that little boy. I guess now I know. Actually, it was him and two other little boys. Well, he wouldn't be so little now. I bet he's probably 12, which is almost a man there. Little girls are having babies at 11 in the village, so, you know, he's actually a man, but he and a couple of his friends accepted Christ. What a blessing that is. So God uses us, and I just want you to keep that in mind. When you feel sometimes like you've hit a dead end, like, oh, my word, you know, this has all gone south. You know, my kids aren't listening to the word anymore. They've walked away from God. Believe me, God's working, and he does, his word does not return void. He says that, and I firmly believe it. This morning in John chapter 13, we're going to continue on, and we are in verse 21, John chapter 13. When Jesus said this, he became troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me." The disciples began looking at one another at a loss to know which one he was speaking. There was reclining on Jesus' breast one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore gestured to him and said, "Tell us, who is it of whom he is speaking?" He leaned back on Jesus' breast and said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus therefore answered, "That is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him." So when he had dipped the morsel, he took and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. After the morsel, Satan then entered into him. Jesus therefore said to him, "What you do, do it quickly." Now no one of those reclining at the table knew for what purpose he had said this to him. For some were supposing, because Judas had the money box, Jesus was saying to him, "Go buy the things we need for the feast, or else that he should give something to the poor." So after receiving the morsel, he went out, and immediately it was night. When therefore he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." You know, it's hard for us to understand sometimes how God works and how he uses people. And guys, I'll have to be honest, just because somebody is in a church or in a setting does not mean that they are a person that is a minister of God. God uses all kinds of people in all kinds of ways, and there's people that will do the bidding for Satan, and honestly, they don't even know they're doing that at the time, but they are. And these men didn't even know that it was Judas. I mean, he had to be a trusted person, the disciples. Think about it. He carried the money bag. You know, he was the one they trusted with all the money. But he was the one that betrayed our Lord. But yet it was all in God's plan. It was time for the Son to be glorified, and God be glorified in him and what he did. And that had to happen through Judas, or through whoever God decided would be the Judas. But he did. And that's what Judas did. Let's go on. Jesus says, "My little children, I am with you a little while longer. You shall seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. Now I say also to you." Remember when he said that to the Jews when they're questioning, "Where I'm going, you can't come"? Well, now he's saying it to his own apostles, his own people. And you notice that when he starts out that verse, he says, "little children." I know that we all want to be grown up, but I think God truly desires for us to be little children sometimes. And he recognized that we're not fully grown. We're not fully grown in the spirit. We're not fully grown in the knowledge of him. We grow every day. To him, believe me, we are little children. And he wants us to have that inquisitive mind of a child, like Kelly brought up this morning about Titus with her. You know, you just love it when a little one does come up and they have, you know, "Tell me." And they soak it all in. Sometimes you've got to be careful what you tell them, because they soak it all in. Poppy gets in trouble a lot. But point being that God wants us that way. He wants us to come to him and says, "Tell me. Tell me." So we can soak it all in. And we have to have that faith of the child to follow him and to believe him. Then he says, I'm with you a little while longer. You'll seek me, and where I am, you cannot come. Now I say to you also, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That is an unbelievable commandment. What do you think that means, to love one another? Thank you, Joe. Be kind. Take the emotion out of it. Serving. Absolute serving. Care about people. How about this one? Tell the truth. And I don't mean just not lie. I'm saying proclaim the truth. Let people know the truth so they can know the Lord. Look at people and how can I serve this person rather than how can this person serve me? And we live in a world that says, how can this person serve me? What's this person going to do to better me? What can I squeeze out of them that's going to add to my bottom line? See, that's the world that we live in. But, you know, if we do it the other way around, what can I do? What has God given me? What message has he given me, i.e. the gospel? Has he given me? How can I help this person and reach this person with Christ? And God gives us all kinds of ways. You realize that today we mentioned this morning also that, you know, what one of the questions in the book was, you know, how can we, what ways are there to, and what hindrances to spreading the gospel or getting the word out? We live today in a day of mass media, social media, television, newspaper. There's so many ways out there that we can reach people today that no one has an excuse not to do it in some way. I don't care how shy you are, you can write a letter. I don't care how shy you are, if there's someone hurting, they can get a card. I got a card the other day in the mail. It's so sweet. From the kids and the little ones in children's church. And scribble little stuff and get well. And I got that in the mail. It touched my heart. It truly did. You know, my daughter-in-law, Holly, has been laid up for a couple weeks. And I didn't pray for this morning, but please do. She has a disc out in her back. And she's just been miserable. And she can't go to work. And it's hurting and frustrating. And, you know, ongoing pain is one of the worst things in the world because it eats at you a little more each day. And I got thinking to myself, maybe she needs a few cards of encouragement from people. You know, I don't know that you guys know this, but Holly is the person that does all of the birthday and anniversary cards that come from the church. She doesn't talk about it. But that's what she does. That's what her ministry in the church is. She does all those. And I got thinking the other day, it was her birthday, and I thought, you know what? I bet she didn't send a card to herself from the church. But she probably didn't. But my point being, we are to love one another and always put each other first. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You know the biggest downfall of the church today in America? Is the people in the church not liking each other? Think about that. I remember one time I was going to a church and a lady and her husband had started coming and they were new to the work and starting to get excited, and all of a sudden there was a big fuss over the pastor and a split in the church, and she just threw her hands up and she said, this is not what I thought being in a church was all about. And they laughed, and I don't think she's in church today. Now, you know, granted, we're people. We have to remember that we are still people. We have that old sin nature. We're going to do things we shouldn't. So it's not always fair. The world does not understand grace. We do, hopefully. You know, they judge us that way and say, well, you say you're a Christian, but I saw you do A, B, and C. Well, us sitting in the church can say, yeah, I may have done A, B, and C, but I'm still living on this earth, surrounded by sin. I make mistakes, and God forgives me. The world doesn't necessarily see it that way. We need to be that example to them. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me, but you shall follow me later. Peter said to him, Lord, why cannot I follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, you will lay down your life for me? Truly I say to you, as a cock shall not crow until you deny me three times. Huh. See, in Peter's mind, he would. And we know that when they came for Jesus, what's the first thing Peter did? Whipped out his sword and whacked off an ear. He was going to protect him. But then later, when they saw all Jesus went through, the scourging and the crowds and the yelling, he hid. He hid. And he denied him. I'm not him. No, I'm not one of those guys. And he hid. Jesus restored him later. Tell us about the love and the grace of our Lord that he restored him later. And he did. We get so caught up sometimes in the human side of who we are that I think that we forget the power of our God. And the power of the Lord's words, that what he says are true and they ring true. It's a hard place we live in as people. Because we've got the spiritual side of our life, which we want to be better, but we've got the human side of our life that's constantly at war with it. I've recognized this for many years. I think the first book that I bought as a young adult was a book by John White called The Fight. And I think I was probably maybe 20 years old. And it was about that war that we have between our flesh and the spirit all the time. And how we can be victorious in the spirit, and we've got to let the flesh go. And we even let that creep into the church. I want to read something this morning, a passage this morning, in Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. It's the last book in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read 13 through 15. Of course, this is the final greeting and benediction to the Corinthian church from the Apostle Paul. And what does he say? Be on alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. I'll stop at verse 14. Let's look at that verse a minute. Be on alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Paul is referencing here, as if he were talking to troops, as he were talking to soldiers, to be strong, be men, be in faith. What do we think of when we think of men? What do men think of when they think of men? There you go. That's a far better question. Let me tell you what men think of.
Men.
Right? I'm a man. I'm in charge. I'm the head. I do manly things. I love my wife, but she's here to serve me. Huh? I need nobody's help except women. They need to help me. But never mention it. Never mention it. But honestly, what's he saying here? Saying be strong, stand firm in the faith, act like men that are soldiers for the Lord. It's a spiritual condition he's talking about. He's not telling them to be rough and tough and strong and soldier-like. He's not. He's talking about the faith walk that we need to have. I'm going to turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. And finally, be strong in the Lord. And in the strength of his might, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to withstand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. I have to tell you this morning, Christian, that I think that in many cases we get confused even in the church of men, and as men what we're supposed to be. Men, should we be a man? And I fall down in this area, we all do. At least I do. Should be we men that proclaim our manhood and say that this is who we are and listen to me? Or should we maybe be the pastor that's firm in faith, firm in the word, but without being asked sometimes takes out the trash or wipes a runny nose? You see, I think that's God's idea of a man. God's idea of a man and what the world says is a man is two different things. What if he said, and finally, be strong, be of good faith, be like women? That'd throw you for a loop, wouldn't it? Huh? What do you mean, be like women? No. Let me tell you something. When it comes to faith and strength and living in the Lord, we're in this completely together. You know, there's a saying that's in modern times that's very true. And it's this. As go the women, as goes the church. What do you mean? Men are in charge, aren't they? Men make the rules. God makes the rules. God's in charge. God does have made us all individually, completely individually. And there's strengths and things he's given to men that men hold and are supposed to do, and there's things in scripturally that women are supposed to do and roles they carry. We're not the same gender-wise. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about our faith walk in the Lord, is that we're to be strong, we're to have faith, we're to show love, we're to be of good courage. You see, if men take the proper role of the man in the church, the man is in the church actively working. What that means when he talks about, when I said such goes the, as goes the women, such goes the church, what I mean is, many times it's the women in the church that dictate whether they're even in church or not. Many times it's the women in the church that dictate whether their kids ever go to church. Our church might be a little bit different in this aspect than a lot, but there's some similarities sometimes. It depends on the people and whatnot. But it should never be that way. See, what God intended was for the husband and wife, for the man and the woman, or the single woman, and however that works, whatever's in the church at the time, what God meant was for all of us to have that faith walk, to put on that full armor of God, to be of good courage, and work together within the boundaries of how he made us. I'm not telling you to become women. That's not the goal here. I really don't want you to do that. And men, I'm not telling you to become women. But understand that when God made a man, although we are the masculine, more masculine one, we are masculine, that didn't mean that we rule everything with an iron fist and walk over top of women because, by golly, we're the cavemen of the club. Right? We get things out of balance sometimes. God made man first. He brought along Eve to be his helpmeet. And that's the way he intended. But God's idea of a helpmeet, and sometimes what the helpmeet's idea is in the world, is two different things. Why do we live in a culture today where we're seeing all these people in power, in all kinds of power, whether it's political power, media power, all these things, abusing all these women? Well, why do we see that? Well, we're the men. We can do those things. No, that's an animal. That's what animals do. That's not how people are. That's not love. When women assume the role of the man and tear down the man, that's not how God intended it either. See, when we were back in 1 Corinthians, and he told us to be strong, be of faith, be like a man. He's talking about being a good soldier, doing what we're supposed to do. Women, you need to be a good soldier for Christ. Men, you need to be a good soldier for Christ. But you work together how he made you. I don't want to be a woman. I really don't. God made me a man. That's what he did. I within how God made me, that's what I want to be. Men and women are different. Sometimes women like to do things men do, and not men like to do something women do. I know that Trent likes to sew and knit. Right, Trent? But anyway, my point is that when it comes to our walk and our faith, we should be the same. When it comes to our love for the Lord, for our desire to love other people, to reach out to see that discipling is being done. Why is it today in this culture, for some reason, why is so much of the discipling being left up to the women? I don't understand. Now, I'm not saying that that men should do all the discipling. What I'm saying is it should be a pretty much a balanced role, shouldn't it? You know, if we have the love and desire to put on the full armor and do what we're called to do, shouldn't we have an equal role in the discipling? When Bible school goes on, shouldn't we probably have, I mean, if things were right, somewhat an equal balance of men and women coming out to help the kids for Bible school? But it's in the evening especially. Of course, today it doesn't matter that much in the morning because, you know, as many women work today as men do, pretty much. In Sunday school, we always look for a lady to teach. I don't know why. Well, I kind of do. But I'm not saying it should be that way. You see, God calls us. God calls us to follow him. What did Jesus say in that passage? Jesus said in that passage, we'll go clear back to John where we were. John chapter 13. Verse 34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men. Now, is he talking about men and gender here? No. He's talking about everyone. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And let me paraphrase just a bit. And if you don't have love for one another, they will not know that you are my disciples. Wow. You guys remember, I got to talk to the older folks now, back in the early Saturday Night Live church lady. Dana Carvey did church lady. You remember that? You know what was really crazy about that? You know why that was so funny? Because it was so true. And everybody knew a church lady. Just stomped around and bossed everyone around and told them how it was in the church and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. No love there. It's power. Everyone knew that. What happens when the world sees that? It's pretty sad that that was a show that most of the world watched. And the world laughed at it. You know why? Because even the world that didn't go to church, they seen a church lady out there. Young lady, do you want to come to Bible school? You're not wearing that. You know? They've seen that. We're to love one another. Stay within our roles and love one another. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you this day for all you've given us, for your love and your grace. Thank you for your word. In your name.
you to stand and join me up on the screen.
This is my desire.